Com. This is What's on Your Mind. Quick, you hear that question, how do you answer? Don't just tell yourself, don't shout at the radio, pick up the phone and let us know. Get us on the job. You want answers? You want to get to the bottom of a topic? Tell us what's on your mind. 800-228-0550. 800-228-0550. 701-258-0550. You can always email us. You can go to our website, whatsonyourmindradio.com. It'll give you a link right to the Facebook page or the Twitter account, and weigh in on that question, the 20-some-odd hours we're not on the air, and or when we're on the air. Or email us, KFYR at clearchannel.com. With Steve Bockett, I'm Scott Hannon. A little reprieve. I had a migraine yesterday, Steve. One of those migraines that sort of is a knee buckler. Ever had one of those?
I had a migraine yesterday, Steve. One of those migraines that sort of is a knee buckler. Ever had one of those?
I was starting to think you were having one today because it took you a very long time to answer my question. Are you listening off the wrong feed again today or something?
Yes, I was.
Oh, now you're on the right. Now we can talk. All right. The wonders of technology, because I was thinking,
beautiful.
Is Steve having a migraine today? Maybe he, you know, was migraine yesterday.
No, we're good.
And,
we're good.
And yours today. So you've never had one of those?
No, actually not. I used to get occasional migraines when I was younger, like grade school. Fortunately, no, I am not afflicted with that. I know a lot of people that are, and it's debilitating. It absolutely is debilitating.
So if you had asked me the question yesterday, what's on your mind, it would have been, I can't think, because there is this...
Probably an ice bag.
Yeah, exactly. How do I get rid of this headache? But anyway, I did, and I'm back, and we're ready to go. So there you go. Simple as that. Tell us what's on your mind, and we're going to find out. What do you think is on the mind of most folks listening today, Steve?
Money, higher education, baseball. I know we usually don't focus on national stories a whole lot because we try to keep it local and keep it in the hinterland. But what is going on with our national pastime? Baseball. And it's not another scandal. It's a continuing scandal.
I'm bored by it because it's a duh to me. It's sort of a, you know, do you think anybody anywhere thinks baseball's clean?
No, absolutely not. It's kind of funny. I think the NFL's probably the sport that's benefiting the most about this. Going, hey, great, all the onus is off us. But the PEDs have replaced steroids, which... because they figure out the test for that. So now you're looking at the human growth hormones and other substances that try to give an advantage to an athlete. When you're talking about this kind of dollars, though, does it get to the point where athletes have to, or feel that they have to get a little bit of an extra edge to compete when they're talking this kind of money that these contracts are looking at?
Yeah, it's a question worth pondering a little bit, but I would venture to say the vast majority of our audience are not surprised by this latest quote-unquote scandal that 20-some-odd players were involved in a doping scandal. I think the bigger story probably is the hush money, because there's reports that millions of dollars were paid out to, you know, this individual that now is coming clean. It's probably the bigger part of the story, but it's just... It's a bit of a yarn, I don't, you know.
Well, it's the usual. You know, the cover-up is usually worse than the original scandal.
Now, you mentioned money being a big issue in higher education. Are you talking about the buyout?
Almost $1 million.
Here's
can I get that job? Can I get that job and fire me?
I think the natural reaction is to say, are you kidding me? Oh, you know, how do I get a deal like that? I mean, I've heard more people say that in the last couple of days. On the other hand... one of the reasons Ham Shavani was not popular among the university presidents is he was trying to bring reform to how university presidents are paid. That if after a initial period of hiring, so if you know, new president's brought in, you got a 3-year contract or whatever you negotiate, after that period, you'd be basically on a year-to-year basis where we'd tell you 1 year ahead of time whether or not we wanted you at the end of that year. So, in other words, it went from a 3-year notice to a 1-year notice. The presidents didn't like that and said, hey, it's going to be very tough to get other presidents to apply for jobs. Nobody will like that. And the reason they said that, first of all, a lot of people disregarded that criticism because evidently the system he was trying to implement is one that's used in a lot of other places. Here's my point. If you don't like this buyout, if you don't like the dollars that are involved, then your ire ought to be directed at the system of higher education, because university presidents and chancellors get paid a lot of money, number one, and number two, have contracts that say, if you don't want me here anymore, or you want me to resign, you don't want me to do my job, fine, I'll go away. In the case of Ham Shavani, there's no way he or anybody takes that job unless they get a certain amount of time to do their job. In fact, what Ham Shavani was doing was going back to the board to say, hey, there's been a lot of controversy. I want to know I've got this job for 3 years because I've got to implement reforms. And look, people are pooping in my front yard. Pardon my French. But, you know, according to a story in Valley News Live, literally critics of this guy were defecating in his front yard. So this is the kind of treatment this guy's been put under. Who would live under those, circumstances unless they were paid A, a large amount of money, and B, had a contract? So I don't blame the Board of Higher Ed for fulfilling a contract. And if you don't like the contract, then you don't like the system. That's what's on my mind.
You know, education is big business. It's very big business. And when you look at what happened with the financial hiccup that we had, everybody pointing their fingers at all the bonuses that were continuing to be paid out with these companies that were getting subsidized by the government to continue. When you're looking at big business, that's the business model. That's the business norm. Education's a big business. You look at the number, $1 million, that's a big number in North Dakota. It's not a big number in the sense of big business. And education in North Dakota is big business. Nationally, it's bigger business. These universities are in the business to make money. That's their job.
Here's the bigger issue. Why was this guy subjected to unpleasant, unprofessional, personal attacks on himself? And that's his words in an interview he did with Valley News Live.
He shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
I think North Dakota should be ashamed of themselves.
He said, I don't mind pushback, or I don't mind criticism, but I do have a problem with these sort of attacks. I was tired of it. This is good for me and for my family. Here's more of the interview. So what sort of attacks was he under? He was asked by Chris Berg, who did the interview for KVLY and KXJB, to confirm whether or not someone had defecated on his driveway and on his garage at his personal home in Bismarck. Yes, sir, it is true. He asked him if racism was part of some of the opposition to his policies. I'm not sure it has played or hasn't played, but what I can tell you is that we've gone through a great deal of personal attacks, including notes and emails that had quite a lot of profanity and racial slurs, but also in a more subtextual way, the notion that he doesn't understand North Dakota culture, he's not the right fit for North Dakota. These are all code words. Sometimes they even mixed up my religious beliefs, said Shavani, apparently referring to people describing him as a Muslim. He happened to be Catholic. Yeah. Shavani didn't mention it, but political enemies were also shopping around a rumor that he'd been unfaithful to his wife. You know, so my point is, when you come in and try and change the system, that's what you're subjected to. You know, I think the story that some in the media are hyperventilating, Fargo Forum has a, World War II, World War III size headline today, breaking out his payout. Fanning the flames is the very same newspaper whose editorial page was saying, get rid of the guy. Well, if you get rid of the guy, you got to pay the guy. That's part of the contract. So
my problem with this whole thing is the fact you hired somebody, which means you supposedly did your due diligence. You should have known who you were bringing into a system like this. Where does the onus fall? You hired a guy to come in and do a job. You didn't give him the time to do the job. You didn't like the way he was going to do the job. Shouldn't you ask the question about how you're going to fix some of these problems that we think are problems when you take a look at this from the outside looking in before you ever hired the individual? And then don't give them an opportunity to do their job. That's not right.
No, it's no way to run a railroad. That's what we think. What do you think? Tell us at 800-228-0550. 701-258-0550. By the way, we are efforting some guests next hour. Kevin Kramer's normally here on Wednesday. with the word from Washington, but because of his schedule today, asked if we could postpone that conversation so he can join us for the full hour Friday on the program. So we are efforting some members of the Board of Higher Education, also some of the legislative folks, to talk more about the buyout for Hamshavani and the circumstances surrounding it. I want to know what your take is on that. Also in this hour, we'll chat with two folks, Tim Purdon, the U.S. Attorney in North Dakota, about a spike in crime on Indian reservations in North Dakota, as well as lottery scams. I got one of those calls, Steve,
from
Jamaica. Yeah, and I knew about it because of the publicity about it, and the reason I took a call from Jamaica was to see, okay, how good is this pitch to try and get me to pay money to get, you know. Anyway, it was rather amusing. We're also going to talk with the speaker at an event on Saturday, which will be fantastic, a thank you event for North Dakota Vietnam and Korean War vets. So lots to cover on the program today, but most importantly, tell us what's on your mind and who's right, who's wrong in this buyout of Hamshavani. 800-228-0550 with Steve Bakken. I'm Scott Hennen.
What's on your mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hennen? We'll be right back after these messages.
We're talking today with Kathy Nesset of Nesset Consulting Service, providing experienced, top-quality well-signed geology and geosteering services from Tioga, the oil capital of North Dakota. Kathy, tell us a little bit about the history of your company.
Well, came to North Dakota in 1979 and incorporated in 1980. My husband and I started Nesset Consulting Service as an oil field consulting business. Primarily right now, we are well site geology and mud logging services. Basically, what we're doing is companies will call and ask for a mud logging, a well site geology geosteering crew. And what we do with that is we then provide the services and line up a two-man crew or two-woman crew. And we put the guys and the equipment out there, and they stay for the duration of the drilling the well. So they live on site, and we support them through this office here in Tioga.
For more, go to NessetConsulting.com or call them in Tioga at 701-664-1492. And you'll find the link to Nesset Consulting Service at BakkenBeacon.com.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit ButlerMachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Scott Hennen, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Let's go to the calls. Dan in Bismarck, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. What a refreshing show.
Thank you, Dan.
I think this is a black eye for North Dakota, this whole Shirvani deal. Did they not interview the man? Did they not do any due diligence on him? And did they not give him a set of a track to run on, what he was supposed to do, and then when he implements a plan, He's roundly criticized on all sides. I think part of the problem is that every region of the state has their own institution, and they're trying to protect them at all costs. And so don't make any changes. Don't upset the apple cart. Don't change the status quo. The issue here is I think the man was treated unfairly, and I think that we're going to have difficulty replacing him once word gets out how people are treated in North Dakota. This is embarrassing for the state of North Dakota, in my opinion.
Very much so.
The folks we want to actually chat with are individuals outside of the state of North Dakota who aren't going to tell us what we want to hear, but folks in the higher education, academic circles nationwide, because I have to agree with Dan. How do you ever, employ somebody now in this post? And they put him through a very, stringent vetting process, right? He's being relieved of his duties because he did everything they asked him to do, probably a little stronger and a little quicker than he should have done, which, he did admit to going a little fast and having a too charged, too fast, too much communication style about him. But
well, they didn't like his style, apparently, but that wasn't the only thing. Part of it is he's going to make changes that are going to affect my school or the one down the street or whatever, and nobody wants to see changes that are going to negatively affect their institution. And so, the whole community is up in arms against the guy. And if change is ever going to come, it's going to have to come, and in one form or another. And again, the man was hired to do a job. He's trying to do the job, and with all the racial component here and everything, I think it's despicable and a real black eye for North Dakota. Thanks for a great show, guys.
Dan, quick question for you: do you think that changes need to be made? And then, without having Shirvani in place, who was hired to do those changes, how do we get those changes done if there are changes that need to be made?
Well, obviously, I think everyone, almost everyone, agrees that changes need to be made. That's the reason that he was brought here. I think that there's a recognition that there needs to be a streamlining of the system and changes in the system. They just didn't like the way he went about it. And to bring race into it or his religion or anything else, or even accuse him of being unfaithful to his wife, that's a new low. It's not the North Dakota way, and I'm embarrassed for North Dakota.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Dan. And we want to know what's on your mind. 800-228-0550. Blake in Bismarck wants to weigh in on this topic, too. 800-228-0550. Go ahead, Blake.
Well, yeah, I'm curious. Everybody keeps talking about these changes and that he did them too fast and in a way they didn't like. Well, what changes are they talking about? And what specifically? I mean, as a taxpayer that was paying him $350,000 a year and now somebody else $350,000 a year plus the $1 million buyout, I mean, what exactly are these changes? I mean, are they talking about closing down some of these small colleges like Mayville State? Or what is it? I mean,
I have no idea.
I think,
number one, big picture, it was have more of a system. You know, the idea is that the North Dakota Higher Education Roundtable years ago said we need a better system. We don't need 11 separate institutions, so we need a system. So that was number one, just reform in that there is a top-down structure. Because a lot of folks say, hey, the reason the previous chancellor was fired is because he got crosswise with Joe Chapman, who was then president of NDSU, and the campus won. So the Board of Higher Ed and the legislature said, hey, wait a minute here, it's not how it works. We dictate policy to a Board of Higher Ed. The Board of Higher Ed implements it, and it's top down to the 11 institutions. So number one was just, have an actual system, have it actually happen. Number two were things like graduation rates. I mean, there was a big fight over who do we compare ourselves to, but by any estimation, graduation rates in North Dakota were poor. The students were taking longer to graduate here than peer institutions of other schools. So there was a proposal to implement reform in that area and get students out of school faster, and the presidents didn't like it. And another one was their compensation. Okay, I hire a new president, he gets a 3-year contract. After that 3-year contract, we're going to go year to year to year. The presidents didn't like that. So there's three I can think of for you, Blake.
So everything that you just mentioned sounds like good things that need to be done. We need to get people graduated in 4 years, not in 6 years. They should go year to year like everybody else in the world and have to have their pay be performance-based and their job be performance-based. So where do we go from here? How does it that the guy that was actually doing what needs to be done is the bad guy?
I don't know how you get hired for a job, and then if you do that job, go down the road of performing to the utmost what those specifications for that position are, and then they get rid of you for doing your job. I don't know how that works in any business scenario. I always look at education as business. It is a business. The business to educate students, grow those universities, and try to do it in the black, which our higher education system gets a lot of funding from North Dakota. My tax dollars are at work here. I don't think my tax dollars are being spent in the most equitable fashion just so that they can keep kids in school. It's almost like they're double dipping. They're making money off the tax side. They're making money off the backside from the students. Who's losing here and who's winning? It comes back to the kids, and it comes back to the taxpayers.
And then taxpayers paid to get all these foreign students in that they promised would, stay in North Dakota and be this great workforce. And we know none of them stay. So we're just subsidizing all these people to get their education, and they never stay here.
That was another one he was trying to reform, is tuition waivers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, deciding who gets them and how and what kind of, is there a uniform policy across 11 institutions? You asked the question earlier, Blake, where do we go from here? That's a good question. I think you go into, a move away from a system and more to 11 institutions doing what they want, and they won. I mean, they won in toppling a chancellor who was simply doing a job he was asked to do, so.
How much sense does it make from a financial standpoint? How much sense does it make from a financial standpoint to have three or four institutions having the same program in a state the size of North Dakota? It doesn't. That costs money. Plus, it costs resources besides just the money. It doesn't make sense. Would it make sense if there was a law school at UND and NDSU? Does it make sense if NDSU started doing aviation? No, it doesn't. And that was part of the streamlining process, and some of the universities, institutions, did not want to lose some of the programs that they had as what they considered core programs.
It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. But, right now, to me, the hue and cry over the buyout, look, there's nothing to be upset about. A contract was fulfilled. You know, that's just what happens. Why is there a change? You know, why is who in the world is defecating on this guy's front garage door to try and get him to say, I'm out of here, I'm gone? What are they afraid of? That's the bigger issue. All right. 800-228-0550. Thanks for the calls and letting us know what's on your mind. Tim Purdon, the U.S. Attorney, North Dakota, next.
Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show,
presented in part by GCN.
When you need it the most, will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit PRIproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
I was born on a rock in the middle of the ocean.
What's on your mind? I'm Steve Bach along with Scott Hennon, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. A little bit of rain out there around the region, some spotty shower. This has got to stop at some point in time. Temperatures around the state, Bismarck at 50 degrees this hour, Williston 56, Dickinson 56, Minot at 56, Garrison 54, Jamestown at 52, Devil's Lake 53, Grand Forks 54. For Fargo 55 this hour, and we're going to be stay cool today. A little breezy, a little wet, scattered showers off and on, and just cold, cold temperatures. Joining us on the program now, U.S. Attorney for North Dakota, Timothy Purdon, talking about some lottery scams. Scott said he just got a phone call, a Jamaican number that that came up, and you've got a phone call. Wayne Stengem's got a did they just open up a North Dakota phone book and start going?
Well, this is, you know, lottery scams and telephone scams, you know, they come and go. And you know, the Attorney General's office does a great job. Their Consumer Protection Division, Peril Grossman over there, they do a great job with alerting the public. But what we've seen over the last couple, 3 months, Steve, has been something different. And because of that, it called for different response from law enforcement. It really started for us in the U.S. Attorney's Office. We indicted back in February 14 or 15 people, both Jamaican nationals and several United States citizens, with scamming some folks out of some pretty serious amounts of money. We had a local victim here in North Dakota that sent over $140,000 overseas as part of this scam. I mean, that's a lot of money, and similar victims across the country, including South Dakota. And so we had filed an indictment, and it got unsealed in March, and I sort of assumed, okay, well, you know, there'll be a news story about this, and there was, and it will sort of alert folks, and hopefully we'll do some prevention here. Well, what we found in the next couple of months after that is we saw a huge uptick in the number of referrals we were getting. Like I said, I got a call. Attorney General Wayne Stengem got a call. Three or four lawyers in my office, assistant United States attorneys, got calls trying to tell them that, hey, you won the lottery, you just got to pay taxes, and we're going to send you $2 million. Well, you know, that's a scam, and so we want to get the word out on this, and I want to say to your listeners as clearly as I can, if someone calls you on the telephone and they tell you that you've won the lottery or won a prize, but they ask you to send them money, it's a scam every time, you know? And it seems obvious, right? But it's not. There are,
especially when you didn't play in that lottery.
Well, you know, that's for sure.
I messed with them a little bit. Here's what I said. First of all, the call came in from Jamaica on my cell phone, right? So
bad sign right there.
Exactly. Right, yep. So you wonder what's going on there. And I'd heard about the the incident because of yourself and Wayne Stengem going public on this and saying the call's coming from Jamaica and whatnot. So I was actually intrigued and said, okay, this will be interesting. And, you know, the same deal. Okay, you want a large sum of money. We got a check for you, but you got to pay the taxes. So I said, well, just deduct it out of my check. And it's just you know, wait a minute. If you say I have money coming, but you need money first, why don't you just send me a smaller check? And that really confused the daylights out of them. But, you know, it doesn't work that way anyway, right? I mean, so like you say, nobody's going to call you and tell you you won a check.
Right.
You won money and have to pay something to get it.
And I think too often, I think people, you know, as I talk to my family and friends about it, everybody's initial reaction is, well, I would never fall for that, right? But the fact is, lots and lots of people do fall for it. And I think it's really important to understand that a lot of these victims are elderly. You know, we've had we've identified a number of victims right here in North Dakota, most of them elderly. And again, you start adding together the amounts of money that they're putting together, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it doesn't have to be a well-off person. Unfortunately, one of the things we've seen is some of these victims, and they may not have been somebody who was sitting on a bunch of money, but they maxed out their credit cards. They took a loan against their life insurance policy. So if you're sitting there listening and you're thinking, oh, well, mom or dad here, they'd be fine because they don't have that kind of money. They don't have access to that. You'd be amazed the pressure that these scammers can put on elderly folks. So besides just thinking about yourself, you know, the listeners here, we really want to encourage folks to talk to their parents. You know, call your mom. You should call your mom anyway. Call your mom. Call your dad. Call your grandparents. Talk to your elderly neighbors and friends and say, you know, if you got a call like this, what would you do? You know, sort of set it up and run a scenario with them and talk about how, well, you know, enforcement says a lot of this stuff is a scam and you should be aware. It is really sort of something that has come up over the last couple months. I was very happy, you know, Attorney General Stenjam and I were able to work together on this and get the word out. We had, we had the top-ranking FBI agent for Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota joined us. FBI has been a huge partner in this. The investigation that we've indicted, just tremendous work by local FBI agents putting that case together. And we, besides the case we've indicted, you know, we have additional ongoing investigations, additional victims identified, and these can be difficult cases to prosecute because these folks are all over the world. I mean, we've got indicted some folks in Jamaica. We're going to try and get them extradited. It's not an easy thing.
Was there any difference in this scam? Because it seems like about every other year, two, 3 years, we get a spike in scams, or one particular one goes around. Was there anything that made this scam different from the other ones, the other phone scams we've had?
It really seems to me like there were more calls coming. And you know, if you know, Congress has held hearings on the specific Jamaican lottery scam. And, you know, the government of Jamaica is a partner of ours trying to stamp out this stuff. But the fact remains that this, quote-unquote, industry in Jamaica has grown exponentially over the last few years. This is hundreds of millions of dollars coming into Jamaica through these scams every year. Frankly, the case that we've—well, I shouldn't talk specifically about specific cases, but let me say this generally. What we've seen with these scammers that are working out of Jamaica— the most difficult thing they face is not convincing people on the phone to give them money. It's getting that money out of the United States. Eventually, you know, that's why they use the green dot cards that you can get at Walmart. You know, Western Union and some of the banks are onto this, and they won't, you know, they're on the lookout for suspicious transfers. But, you know, we've seen allegations and investigation has determined that there are people who fly to the United States, strap $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in cash on them and fly back to Jamaica. You know, there's estimates, AARP estimated 30,000 calls into the United States every day, I think, this sort of trying to perpetrate this sort of a scam.
Our guest is Tim Purton, by the way, top law enforcement official for the federal government in the state of North Dakota as President Obama's U.S. attorney. Let's talk a little bit about crimes on Native American reservations. Numbers are pretty staggering here. You are on a subcommittee that reports directly to the Attorney General on this. So it's obviously an issue that's got the attention of officials in Washington at the Department of Justice. There have been critics for years that basically say the federal government doesn't do enough to address crime on reservations. Fair or unfair criticism, A, and B, is it changing?
Well, it's changing. I can only speak, you know, for the term that I've been U.S. attorney and for the Justice Department that I work in. And what I can say is that I've been U.S. attorney now a little under 3 years. And really since 2009, our office here in North Dakota has engaged in an unprecedented effort to improve public safety in Indian country. The report that came out last week is a report of some statistics from the FBI and U.S. attorney's offices across the country. And what it shows is that since 2009, across the country, The number of cases filed in U.S. attorneys' offices coming off Indian country is up 54%, from around 900 to around 1,500 or 1,600 cases. Now, Steve and I were talking before we went on. I don't think that means that crime is up. What I think it means, and what I know it means, is that, in my office as an example, we've devoted additional resources to combating crime on the reservation, and the FBI has as well. And as a result, we're seeing more cases. It comes from additional resources. It also comes from the outreach that myself and more importantly, the lawyers in my office have been engaged in over the last 3 years. We put together in the summer of 2011 an anti-violence strategy for Indian country in North Dakota. And as part of that plan, we require our assistant U.S. attorneys, the lawyers who are prosecuting cases, they're each assigned to a reservation. We ask them to get out there every month, every 6 weeks, run a multidisciplinary team meeting, you know, meet with local tribal law enforcement, staff cases with the tribal prosecutor. I travel frequently and meet with the tribal councils. We've really opened up the communication and the trust. And because of that, we're getting referrals, and the referrals we're getting are better investigations because of the involvement of the lawyers in our office at an earlier point in the investigation. And so I think that's driving some of these numbers. In North Dakota, our numbers are up. Indian country prosecutions from 2009 to 2012 fiscal year, I think over 80% in North Dakota, which is in line with the 50% increase across the country.
That shows, like you said, and we were talking off air, that you think not necessarily crime is up on the reservations, but it's better oversight, better convictions, better diligence on the part of all parties coming together, because this is a problem that there's a lot of different pieces. It's complicated.
Oh, man, it's complicated. I tell people, you know, when you get involved in public safety on the reservations, that's not something you work on for 6 months or 18 months, and then you sort of dust off your hands and say, well, there, we knocked that out. What's next? This is a 20, 30-year process.
And it's multi-jurisdictional.
We have to, we rely on working closely with tribal partners, with county law enforcement, with the BIA law enforcement, with the FBI. We have to staff cases with county state's attorneys, and we have to talk about with tribal prosecutors. And it's very, very complicated. It's very, very difficult. Now, you know, you see, crime's not up, and I agree with that. I don't think these numbers stand for an increase in crime. But generally, we all understand that public safety on the reservation is an issue because crime rates on the reservation across the country often exceed the crime rates off the reservation. The statistic that always gets me is this one. You know, a Native American female baby has a 1 in 3 chance of being sexually assaulted in her lifetime. Okay? I have a mother, a wife, and a daughter. So I have 3 women in my life. They don't face those odds. The fact that we might be at a gas station in Newtown, and the minivan next to us with a grandmother, mother, and a daughter of Native American heritage, and that we're at the same gas pump and they face those odds, and living off the reservation, we don't. That's unacceptable to me. And as the U.S. attorney, I'm lucky I get to try and impact that issue. It's really, frankly, the reason I wanted to be U.S. attorney and spent some time trying to get the job. And so, you know, that's a challenge. And so it's not that crime is up. You know, it's certainly crime in Indian country is an issue. And the U.S. government, the federal government, we're devoting more resources to it, and we're having some success. We're removing more of the dangerous folks from the reservation, recognizing we're not going to arrest our way out of this, but doing the outreach, the communication, the support for viable crime prevention programs as well. And long term, we have to help strengthen tribal courts to help increase public safety and economic development. That's the second part of this.
Gene and Bismarck wants to weigh in on the lottery scams. Tom in Jamestown has a comment on crime on the reservation. We'll get to you when we come back. We have a short segment. We'll do that when we come back. And Tim Purdon, the U.S. attorney, if you're able to stick around, great. If not, we understand you got to go. We'll continue with more after this short timeout. Don't go away. This is What's on Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hannon. 800-228-0550, our telephone number. More coming up.
Select Energy Services, an industry leader in innovative and efficient end-to-end water solutions and well site services, is looking for experienced Class A CDL drivers with clean driving records and water hauling experience. At Select, we believe our most valuable assets are the hardworking employees that we are proud to call our team. We offer excellent benefits and competitive wages. To apply, contact our Williston office at 701-875-5500 or visit selectenergyservices.com. Select Energy Services, one source for total water solutions.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT 5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit ButlerMachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
We're back on What's On Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hinnon. Next hour we'll chat with Grant Schaft, member of the North Dakota Board of Higher Education, talk about the decision at the board meeting in Medora over the weekend and Monday regarding the buyout of Ham Shirvani. We're also going to chat with one of the speakers for the event, thanking veterans of Vietnam and the Korean Wars, that will happen in Bismarck on Saturday, which is a great deal. We're chatting with U.S. Attorney Tim Purdon for a couple of more minutes, and Tom in Jamestown had a question regarding crime on the Native American reservations. Go ahead, Tom, for Tim Purdon. You're up next.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment on the reservation in general. When you consider the literally probably hundreds of billions of dollars that have been pumped into the reservations, not just in North Dakota, but across the United States, and then you consider all the money that's been generated by gambling with the casinos. And then you look at all the just monumental problems that occur on the reservation. Isn't it true that somebody somewhere, probably at the federal level, needs to come up with a completely different philosophy on how that particular problem needs to be addressed, because obviously just continuing to pump more and more money into the reservation system has not worked. I'd just be interested in hearing his comments on that.
You know, guys, that's a theme of a question that I hear quite a bit, and what I say is, you know, I've spent the last 3 years working on these issues, and I have a very small piece of this, which is public safety. It's small, but it's important because you build an economy on that. It's not for me to say. I'm not an elected official. You know, I'm a member of the executive branch, enforcing as the U.S. attorney, enforcing the statutes that are written, and so I have a smaller part of it. What I'll say is this, though. I'll say one thing. You know, everything we can do to strengthen a tribal court system has a long-term advantage. You know, take a look at the Standing Rock Tribal Court right now, where Bill Zuger was down there for a number of years, did a great job as the tribal judge. They've replaced him with another lawyer from Bismarck, who I know well and has a great reputation. They've got three tribal prosecutors down there that are licensed, that do a great job and work with our office very closely, and they've really built up a really strong tribal court system over the last 5 or 6 years. Now, the result of that is improved public safety, but it also will eventually attract capital and bring business to the reservation, because the rule of law will control, and when you have that, a strong court system that protects the right of, protects public safety, so people feel safe and they can go out and try and, you know, build an economy. And secondly, it protects contracts and the rule of law. That's the secret, I think, long term. That's what we can do today to help the reservation. So I don't think I answered his question, but that's about as far as I can go.
Long term. You mentioned long term. Anecdotally, this is a problem that's been built up over generations and generations and decades. Realistically, where are we looking at trying to get back to that tipping point of getting those crime numbers on the reservations and what they have to deal with living on those reservations, mm-hmm. at least close to in line with the rest of us have to deal with?
Well, I think, you know, it's trite, but every, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And we've taken some first steps here. I'm encouraged by the progress we're making. The goal is to institutionalize these changes within my office and within the Department of Justice so that these efforts take place over 20, 25 years. I mean, Standing Rock has done a great job with their court system, but they've got to continue, and we've got to continue supporting them. And if we get 20, 25, 30 years of a strong court system and a strong commitment from the Department of Justice and FBI and BIA and enough cops and enough skilled lawyers, eventually over time, it'll become institutionalized. People will demand, people will accept it, and then they will demand it. And you won't be able to go away from that. And you have to just nurture those relationships and that collaboration and cooperation every day, and you have to do it for a long time. Judge Zuger was quoted, the former tribal judge from Standing Rock, was quoted in one of the articles about this report. He said, it took us 125 years to get in this situation. It's going to take us a while to get out. And I agree with that. This is a long-term journey.
You mentioned some folks from Standing Rock. Grant Walker, a tribal prosecutor at Standing Rock Reservation in North and South Dakota, also quoted in the story, said he doesn't put a lot of stock in the rates declining because he talks to federal prosecutors on a regular basis. Really aren't a big deal anymore to us because we know what the case is, and if the federal government declines, we've already had a chance to prosecute that case too, so it's not like the ball is hidden, the prosecution's office doesn't know about it. What's he talking about there, Tim?
Well, you know, Grant is the chief prosecutor on Standing Rock, and we have a lawyer in Bismarck assigned to that reservation as well. And those two guys, talk on almost a daily basis. And so when an incident occurs and the BIA investigates it, they'll refer that case to both Grant and Gary, and then Grant and Gary will take, Gary DeLorme is the lawyer in our office. They'll take a look at that case and they'll say, you know, is this somebody who's a dangerous person, you know, multiple criminal activity, and we, you know, they've committed felony conduct, and we want to do that case in federal court? Or is this maybe a young man or woman who's taken that first step down the wrong path, and, you know, maybe a federal felony isn't what's going to help get them on the right path? Maybe we can deal with them, charge them with a misdemeanor in tribal court, and then maybe they can get some halfway house or some treatment, some you know, minimal time in a tribal jail, and maybe that's what they need. And so we don't hang every 18 or 19-year-old Native American kid who makes their first mistake with a federal felony. That sort of collaboration, you know, we do that on a daily basis with our state partners in the county attorney's offices, and we've built now that relationship with Standing Rock so that they're part of our team. Now, I wish that was replicated across the reservations in North Dakota and across the country. We're not there yet, but we have to keep working on that.
Fascinating discussion. Thanks for coming in and chatting with us today, Tim. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me, Scott. I appreciate the invitation. I told you this would be good radio.
It was good radio. Darn right. And by the way, on the lottery scams, hang up. That's the advice from the U.S. attorney. Just hang up the phone.
What's on your mind?
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more Straight Ahead. Don't go away.
Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeeland, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, it kills skunk smell, cat urine. You can mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. And that's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the odor will not come back. We give 100% guarantee if that smell ever comes back, call us up or refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to GetRidOfSmellNow.com, use the promo code SCOTT, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. GetRidOfSmellNow.com, 100% money-back guarantee. You can't beat it. And it's North Dakota made.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, I'm Steve Shank, founder of eFoods Direct. Right now, we have a huge number of Americans that are in serious trouble right smack dab in the middle of the Oklahoma disasters. I know that thousands of you, like us, are frustrated with not being able to help those who have lost so much and are in so much pain. We can't stand idly by. Food is the best way to help the victims and support the relief effort. We have a plan for any of you who would like to partner with us in providing food in this desperate time of need. We've built a 7-day emergency food package containing breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a whole week for one adult, valued at $60. Your $25 will ship this life-saving supply directly to those in need. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. The food is contributed at considerably less than cost. Thank you.